Let me invite you to take your Bibles and open to our text this morning. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 12. And we've been spending a bit of time here in this section of 1 Thessalonians and listening to the Apostle Paul spur us on. First Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12. Paul says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us as to how you ought to walk and please God, and just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God did not call us to impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who sets this aside is not setting aside man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning the love of the brothers, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brothers who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business and to work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will walk properly toward outsiders and not be in any need." May God bless his word. Please be seated. As we've seen, Paul is addressing a church here that is strong, it's healthy, it's doing well, and he's calling them to excel all the more. And the way that they're going to excel all the more is by the Word of God, calling them to that greater faithfulness. To as the hymn writer said, to ponder anew what the Almighty can do, to excel, especially in these three specific areas that we see here. And we'll look at those in a moment. There are a lot of churches, I think, that have this idea of excelling as really imitating the world. For them to excel is to just take on the world's methods or the world's message and what they're about. A lot of times in our day, particularly now, it's fashionable for churches to use Disney movies or Marvel movies and to attempt to draw out of those spiritual lessons, perhaps, or to use that to draw in the unbelieving world, to try to feed the sheep even with things like that. And it does indeed draw people in. But we should know that if men are drawn in by those kinds of things, they will very unlikely want the saving message of the cross. For if they come to be entertained through things like that, they will leave when they are not entertained. And there are those who think that they can actually feed the sheep of God through this kind of teaching, with the fodder and chaff of the world. They offer that up for their sheep to eat. But the truth is, true sheep will find things like that to just be bitter herbs and moldy bread if it's offered to them. Rather, they would have the pure milk of the word. True sheep are looking for the true and plain food of God's word and the satisfying message of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as Paul comes to this church, he calls them to excel, not in the way so many places in our day are doing it, through worldly methods and a worldly message. He doesn't do that. On the other hand, he also doesn't call them to anything that we would say is particularly radical or out of the ordinary. He's not calling them to somehow make a name for themselves or seek out great things for themselves, but rather he calls them to things that are at the very foundation of faithfulness to Christ. And so we see that healthy churches excel. They excel. And they excel specifically in three basic areas. The first one was moral purity that we saw a number of weeks ago. The second was love for the brothers. And now, at the end of this section, we see in verses 11 and 12, they excel in giving the main focus of daily living to just being responsible, self-disciplined, hard-working men and women in our marriages, our homes, our families, our jobs. That's just ordinary in a way. And yet that's what Paul calls the church to. Now, as we think about this, though, there's certainly more for the Christian to be about in the Christian life than this. But we could say that in the area of just practical living, there's not less than this that we ought to be about, this moral purity, this love of the brothers, and this determination just to work hard in our lives. We live in a moment in the church where there are many voices calling the church either to some outward silliness or foolishness of imitating the world, or on the other hand, sometimes we hear a call to some kind of victorious Christian living that is to raise us up to some kind of spiritual life that's above the fray and a life without troubles, sort of super spiritual living, a life of never sinning, perhaps, or hearing special messages from God that are outside of Scripture, that are supposedly bigger and better things than what Paul is calling the church to be about here in 1 Thessalonians. Now, Paul's instructions here, beloved, for the church to excel all the more doesn't direct it to some flashy program. It doesn't call us to some kind of radical lifestyle. No, the manner in which the church excels is never found outside of these three things that Paul sets forth. Again, there's certainly more to faithful Christian living, but never less. And so when Paul is pressed to give this strong church in Thessalonica instructions in excelling, these are the things he drives home. Again, sexual or moral purity, love of the brothers, and a life focused upon working hard and tending to the main business of our marriage or family or our jobs. So that, as Paul says in verse 12, no one will be in need. You know, this is what the world ought to see as they look at Berean Baptist Church. From the outside in, they ought to see a people who are gladly avoiding sexual immorality. Fleeing from it, really, as the scriptures call us to. Knowing that it's an acid for the soul, it's an acid for marriages and families and culture. It breaks down every human relationship, whether it's pornography or any relationship, sexual relationship outside of the marriage bonds of one man and one woman. It's God's design and plan for us that is perfect and good. And we're glad. We're glad for it. And then we saw a couple of weeks ago a call to love the brothers. This is sort of just the ground floor of excelling. There is really no genuine faithfulness outside of loving our fellow believers in the local church. In the local church. I know Derek brought this home last week as he was preaching out of 1 John 2 for us. We are to be those who excel in our faith as we excel in loving each other. And then we have this last call that Paul gives, verses 11 and 12. The call to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and to work with your own hands. As he says, just as we commanded you, they've heard this from Paul before, so that you walk properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. Beloved, our Christian lives ought not to be marked by a busybodiness or a laziness that Paul is calling them away from here. Really, Christians ought to be the most industrious, hard-working people that the world knows. Right? The world should know you and I not as people who are sort of always looking for handouts or for others to do our work for us, but rather we are known, well known, for working hard, taking care of our own needs as we're able. This is just to be the life of a believer. That's not flashy. It's not radical. But we ought to be the ones the world thinks of when they think of someone who will be reliable, dependable, someone who would get the job done. That's really a clear mark of a growing Christian life. You work hard as you're able, right? I've said at times, that 80% of life is just showing up. Just showing up and then working hard. Talent comes in there later, but just showing up, right? And so Christians are those who just show up and they work hard as the Lord allows us, as he gives health. I mean, there are certainly times when we can't in our health, but that message, the message Paul brings here in verses 11 and 12 is not going to sell a lot of books or be what people think of when they think of excelling in your Christian walk. In fact, really, this is just the normal Christian life. It's not a life on some higher plane above the normal issues of life. It doesn't mean it's easy to be a believer who works hard with their own hands, as it were, and provides for their needs. But this is a Christian life. We press on in these things for God's glory. The Christian life is to be lived in your job. In your job. Where God has placed you, or in the home where you're faithfully raising up little ones, or in some place of service within the church. Beloved, don't think that there's something bigger and better for you that you ought to be doing, something world-changing that's out there. What you're doing and being faithful in these areas of life is massive. It will impact the world more than anything else. The most radical thing you can do in this world from a New Testament perspective is to stay morally pure. It's to be committed to your husband, to your wife that God has given you. It's to wait until marriage for that sexual relationship. The most radical thing you can do in this world from a New Testament perspective is to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. And as Paul says, just to simply work hard in your life. Give your focus to the task that God has put in front of you and do it for His glory. Now, I know there are churches out there that might be like the church at Laodicea that we read of in Revelation 3 that really was a church that just became lazy in general as a church, and it was self-focused, it was self-satisfied. There are certainly those kinds of churches out there. But what Paul is calling us to here, if we are faithful in it, we'll never get there. We'll never be Laodicea. We'll never be failing to love the church. We'll never be failing to work hard and not make ourselves a burden to others. Paul also brings the same theme out to Timothy as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. There, Paul is calling for the believers to pray for kings and all those in authority, with a desire then that all might be saved. They all might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's had a desire for all men across all stratus of society, kings, all those in authority, from the bottom to the top, to come to faith. And then Paul says to Timothy there that God might do this. We pray for kings and all those in authority for their redemption, their salvation, but also that we might live quiet lives in all godliness. We might be able just to live our faithful Christian lives, day to day, moment by moment. There is this consistent call in the New Testament for the believer to simply live a life of work. Paul says to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, there they had an issue in the church with some who were stealing. And so Paul says to the church in Ephesians 4, 8, he who steals must steal no longer, but he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he may have something to share with one who has need. It's not radical. That's just the way we ought to live life. So if these things are there within the life of the believer and the life of the church, then we will see much happen. God will do wonderful things among us. But if they're not, really, it doesn't matter a whole lot what else we do. If there's sexual immorality at work in the church, everything's ruined. If we're unloving toward our fellow believers in the church. We really don't have anything of the love of Christ in ourselves. And if we're not those who are minding our own business by working hard, and we're going to make others have to supply for our needs. When we are able to work, we won't be those who are building up the church with our energies, but rather we'll just sort of be draining energies out of the church. Paul, as he'll write in his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he will warn them, because there evidently were some in the church who had become lazy. And he said plainly to them that if they will not work, they will not eat. That was the command from the Lord. That's how the Lord values hard work within his people. Now, this doesn't mean that there won't be times when we all need help. And the rest of the church in those moments ought to demonstrate an excelling love to help other believers in those moments. Whether it's through our physical efforts or labors or through our monies that we're able to help. Those are wonderful times that we can love our fellow believers in. But Paul is really addressing a time here where there are those who can help themselves, but they're just choosing not to. They're able to work, but really offering excuses, or maybe just not self-disciplined enough in their lives. And so Paul is calling the church here to excel all the more as you do this, because you won't be in need. And as we read, as Paul speaks to the Ephesians, you'll have something then to share with others who have a genuine need. What a blessing that is. And so the ground of an excelling church, the ground of an excelling church is in its moral purity. So many lives and ministries and churches have been absolutely ruined by a lack of moral purity. It seems we're always shocked when we hear about it. And though there are some that we hear about that really is not all that surprising, because the New Testament gives a clear indication where there is false teaching, that is often a path to moral failings. The false teacher who's out there is one who is sooner or later going to be failing morally. But there are times too when it just sort of pops up and you're shocked and surprised. All the more reason we need to heed Paul's warnings here in it. To excel all the more. We ought to love these warnings as they come. Because they're really life to us. They're what God is using to spur us on to faithfulness. And we have this ground as well of the love of the brothers. Let us continue to show love to the saints here. And to do it in what I would say in surprising ways. In ways large and ways small as you have opportunity. That you would love one another here as Christ has loved us. That is, he's loved us with great measure and great patience. So we're morally pure, excelling in that. We're loving the brothers and excelling in it. And then we're those who excel. We're men and women who excel in the work that God has put before us. Let us be a people that others think of when they think of hard work, when they think of getting the job done, or a home well kept. Oh, that God would grant much grace to you and I in this. And God will do amazing things through a church like that. Amazing things. I've said before that God has no small churches. He has no small churches. That is, God's power to act is never relative to the size of the church. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter a whit the number of saints in a local body, because God doesn't need a certain number of people to accomplish his work. We just need to be these people that are excelling in these areas. The ground of what God is aiming to do among us here and through us as a church is standing here on 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 12. Now, there's more to faithfulness, beloved, than this. But all that we would know, there's never less. And all that we would be a church excelling here beyond measure. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that you have set before us clear truths in your word. We thank you, Father, that it is attainable as well, Lord, what you have put here. You do not command us, Lord, to do things that we will not be able to do by the power of your Spirit through your word. Lord, I ask that you would do much in us through these things. I pray that we would have a firm foundation, Lord, in all of these. And then from that, Lord, all that we would be able then to do all that you would call us to be about as a church. So we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand as Aaron would lead us as we sing in closing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's number 192.